Greetings, ladies and gentlemen. Today, I will speak to you about the greatest enemy of all of us. Now, you may be wondering what that enemy is, especially given that a lot of media attention has been devoted to threats such as terrorism, nuclear war, oppressive governments, all of which are, to a greater or lesser degree, threats, but none of them compare to the threat that I'm about to discuss. Not even the great genocides and slaughters of the 20th century can come anywhere close. And for my religious audiences, no, I'm not talking about hell or eternal damnation or the devil. I don't even believe in any of these. What I'm talking about is something that has been accepted as routine and commonplace in not just our society, but in societies throughout human history. And it should never have been so accepted. What I'm talking about kills about 100,000 people every single day in all societies. What I'm talking about is death. Death through senescence. So-called natural causes, even though there's nothing natural about it. Indeed, all death is due to some kind of problem with the body. Most of deaths that occur in old age occur from one of three causes. One of these is heart disease, some kind of failure of the heart. The second is a brain illness, some kind of failure of the brain, and the third is cancer. Cells of the body dividing uncontrollably and essentially going where they shouldn't and disrupting the functions of the organism, eventually disrupting the functionality of the entire organism and causing it to shut down. I repeat, there is nothing natural about any of these conditions. Most of them are extremely painful. Most of them are extremely debilitating, leading a person to lose his or her physical functionality or mental functionality, to suffer horrific pain for months. And even the ones who allegedly have the merciful fate of dying in their sleep when they're 90, why do they die in their sleep when they're 90? Well, their heart just stops beating. And that is a failure. If nothing else, it's not as if they were perfectly healthy and lived full lives up to that point. Their heart had been progressively weakening until the point where it couldn't pump blood anymore. I wouldn't call that a natural cause. I wouldn't call that having lived a full life up until its natural end. No. As a matter of fact, what is now considered death from natural causes, well, that would have been inconceivable even a few centuries ago. The life expectancy in most advanced countries of the world is in the high 70s or the low 80s. Now, this is unprecedented. In 1900, the U.S. life expectancy was only around 47 years. In the Middle Ages, it was only in the 30s in European countries. And so, if you live to be 50 in the Middle Ages, or if you lived to be 60 in the 19th century, you were most of the time considered to have lived a very long, full life. And if you died, once again, of some kind of heart failure, or brain failure, or cancer, you were considered to have died of natural causes. But there was nothing natural about that. And today we recognize that if somebody dies at 60, that's an extremely tragic outcome. We mourn that person for having passed so early. So why, I ask, should it be any different for somebody who dies at 90 today? Someday, when we do, and it's going to be a when, cure these terrible afflictions of the heart, of the brain, cure this terrible scourge called cancer, we will also say of anybody who died at 90, that person died way too young. And this is a perfect way to introduce my next point, which is the death of every individual, no matter how old or how young, is a tragedy of incomparable proportions. You cannot put any kind of quantifier on that tragedy. You cannot say, for instance, that the death of a million individuals is a greater tragedy than the death of one. Because even if we lose one single individual, we have lost something that is completely irreplaceable. An entire internal world of memories, of experiences, of ways of looking at the world that will never again be replicated. Even if that person has left some kind of writing, even if that person has left some memories of him or her in the minds of other people, that's a very indirect way to access what that person was actually thinking, what that person was actually doing, that person's true motivations, and the broad and rich range of that person's experiences. That can never truly be replicated. Now, of course, I'm grateful that so many people in the past have left behind records of their existence. I'm grateful that I'm able to read Aristotle and Voltaire and Bastiat. But I still don't know what went on inside their minds. And moreover, billions of people are now irreplaceably gone, without a trace. Maybe a minority of them have left behind some kinds of names, most of which people don't remember unless they're genealogists. But the vast majority of the people who have died have left nothing behind. Their whole lives are gone, irreplaceably gone. Such a huge waste of human potential. Imagine what we could have learned from these people if they had been alive today. What kinds of skills they would have brought to us. What kinds of memories of the past, of other eras, of things we can only know about very remotely and indirectly from reading the history books. That is a huge loss. And I do not want this loss to continue. I do not want any of the people who are alive today to be gone in this fashion, be irreplaceably gone. Now, some people say, well, this is why you have children. The children will carry on your memory, your legacy, in a better way than anybody else can. And to some extent, that's true. To some extent, children know their parents better than anybody else. But what happens when those children have children, and their children have children? And eventually, somewhere down the line, the great-great-great-grandparents are forgotten, or very little is known of them, or they're only known as mythical figures, the founders of this particular line of the family, perhaps. But what about that rich inner world that these great-great-great-grandparents experienced? All gone. Lost. Forever. Irreplaceably. Intolerable. And of course, that's not all. The worst is yet to come. The true scope of this enemy, we have not even begun to probe. Next time, I will show you exactly what is at stake and why we must defeat death itself.